Every startup begins with an ambitious founder and an idea, but what inspires them to take the leap into the entrepreneurial world? I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form, and welcome to our new founder series. I'll be sitting down with a few of our startup founders to hear about their journey as entrepreneurs in the fashion tech world. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Beatrice Newman, founder of Mode, to talk about her personal journey of entrepreneurship. Surrounded by fashion growing up, Beatrice Newman has used it to guide her instincts into the industry. Experiencing both fashion and business schools, she launched her own fashion brand, Collar Key, and a career in academia. But is that enough to survive in this cutthroat and fickle industry? By self-teaching many tricks of the trade, she came to realize that fashion education needs to be more for it to help the next generation. That's why she's launched Mode, to do just that, and to push the notion of what fashion education should be.
Fashion has a huge history, and there are things that we do in the industry, good and bad, that if you are looking to be leaders of tomorrow, you're gonna really have to learn. And if you're really wanting to figure out this whole sustainable problem and all of the other things that are not just about creativity, then you're looking for credible sources that can really support you in that development.
Let's get stuck into Beatrice's founder journey on this episode of Venturing Into Fashion Tech. How are you today, Beatrice?
I'm doing good. Peter, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Looking forward to our conversation today, all about fashion education, your fashion journey, and a little bit about your brand as well.
Let's do it.
But before we get stuck into the conversation, I'm just going to give our listeners a little bit of context in regard to the global online education. The market is projected to be around $239 billion by 2027. So it's a huge market with a compound annual growth rate of 9.48%, according to Statista. Graduate Fashion Week presents around 3,500 fashion graduates per year, with many more thousands graduating from the various fashion schools around the UK. So that's many fashion graduates. However, many fashion education courses are still centered around traditional thought processes, and subjects like generative design, digital fashion, and data science are still nascent, leaving a huge skill gap that many fashion brands are now requiring in their new recruits, which we're going to speak about a little bit later on. But first of all, Beatrice, let's get to you. Growing up, were you always surrounded by fashion?
I'd say yes, I was. My parents originated from West Africa, that's Ghana. And in our culture, we are very, very colourful, very bright. It's all about prints, especially around kente, which is a traditional cultural cloth weaved by the Asantehene, and that's sort of Ghanaian for kings. So it's a very royal cloth. And so anytime we had relatives going to Ghana, or my mum went to Ghana herself, they would always bring back these beautiful cloths sewn in these traditional styles that we call kaba and slit, so top and skirt. And because Sunday service was a huge thing in my family, it was all about dressing your best, you know, Sunday best. And so that was probably my early introduction into fashion. And then I guess when I went to school, understanding that fashion could in turn be developed into a career, I guess my enthusiasm grew from there. It wasn't until I came across, back in the day when it was cable and fashion TV.
Yeah, do you remember those that, are the Peter? Days. Fashion TV, FTV.com. Oh, I used to watch that religiously as
original,
well.
And it always had time slots as well. So you really wanted to see the shows. And I came across a show by John Galliano. I can't remember its exact name, but I think it was around 1997 collection, around royalty. So princes and princesses, or kings and queens, something like that. And the royal sort of regalia of the clothes that I saw, I never knew fashion could be interpreted in such a way. And it made me fall in love with fashion because I thought it was just fantastical. And, you know, this is something that I could do, sort of mirroring art and design together, because I was also an artist. I loved art. But sort of aside from that as well, I was very heavily influenced by Barbie, sort of doll culture. I was an only child up until a certain point. And even when I did have brothers and sisters, I was quite sort of older. So didn't necessarily have the opportunity to play, form relationships. And so my dolls became that sort of centerpiece for me. Wasn't really surrounded by a lot of fashion from the Western perspective. Like when you hear a lot of people in fashion talk about, I was surrounded by Vogue magazines and that's how I understood it. For me, no, it was, I got my fashion taste from Barbies, right? And so when my mom and my stepdad would buy these dolls for me, and that was my introduction into fashion, I would say, and sort of Disney princesses, fairy tales, etc. I mean, I was your real girly girl. I wanted to be a princess every day. And so the transformation that you see on TV from sort of rags to riches, sort of ugliness to beauty, that jazz, it really had an impression on me. I guess I really enjoy that narrative as well as a designer and creator today of being able to elevate any sort of woman's dreams of becoming her developed self, if you will. I wouldn't want to call it rags to riches or sort of ugliness to beauty, because, well, we know better now. It's not really about that. But that transformative style that fashion can give to someone and the confidence it can really build.
So you fell in love with Barbies. You fell in love with fashion. You fell in love with the clothes from your culture. How did you make all of this come together in your mind and be like, okay, I'm going to go to fashion school because I've just been surrounded by all of this amazing fashion all of my life?
It was a difficult decision. It wasn't something that I took lightly, mainly because when you're doing sort of GCSEs or A-levels, you don't really get the opportunity to do fashion subjects. The only fashion subject that really comes under fashion is textiles, or quite close to it, and I didn't want to do textiles. So I actually came from a fine art background, and I decided to go to art school, do a BTEC national diploma actually, that allowed me to develop or do different sides of the creative industry. So I actually learned photography, graphic design, etc., and fashion. And then in the second year, I guess after doing all of these different art subjects, which I became a jack of all trades with, everything was really good, I guess, because I'm just a very creative person, I decided to just take that leap and develop my fashion skills. So I majored in fashion. I excelled in that. And so I guess, you know, that's really the story. I just progressed in that way and learned a whole lot more about fashion along the way. Not many people know this as well, though, but whilst I was doing my BTEC National Diploma, I rented a market stall in Spitalfields Market, which is in Liverpool Street. It was a big deal sort of way back when, having that store, and I did it with a friend, and it really got me into understanding sales and fashion business quite early, quality of your garments, design on the products that you're selling, and really understanding why some businesses do a lot better than others.
And you studied fashion design, is that correct?
I did study fashion design.
Where at?
BA. So I did my BA at the Montfort University, which was a 3-year course.
And do you think going to fashion school helped you to become an entrepreneur, or was it very much having that Spitalfields insight and moment that helped you?
I think way back when, because we didn't have sort of YouTube, Instagram at that time, it feels crazy because, I mean, these things feel like they've been here for a long time, but actually they haven't. We didn't have that back at the time, Peter. So it made sense to go to fashion school because it really gave me that foundation. I remember my friend I was doing a market stall with, she told me she sort of came back from an interview because she also wanted to get into fashion. And when she did the interview, the interviewer was asking what her favorite brand was, and she couldn't really name one person because we didn't grew up in that generation of Vogue magazines, or not necessarily people who in fashion have an idol or have a designer that they like. It's just we seeing something and we just want to maybe replicate that, or we just love that kind of take. I remember at that time really understanding the different types of designers that were in the world was a huge deal in getting into fashion school, because you needed to understand these greats, otherwise you weren't really considered a fashion connoisseur or someone who was really taking fashion seriously. And I think that was detrimental to her. I was okay because I learned these people and obviously had a little bit more insight maybe than she did. That really supported me in my development, and I would say it was important at that time to go to fashion school. I don't want to say it's not important to go to fashion school now, but I do feel like there's a breadth of sort of different available skills out there now where you can gain the basics and still develop a business without going to fashion school. And I'd say that's really important for someone who probably already has done a degree in a subject that's not creative or even fashion, but does want to segue into the fashion industry, but doesn't want to do a 3-year degree, compared to someone who already knows that they definitely want to do fashion. Therefore, I would say it would make sense to definitely do a fashion degree, because there are things that you will learn in the 3 years. There are people that you will come across, including your lecturers who have a larger network and industry experience, that really build an impression and development of skills in you that you can't really get sometimes anywhere else.
Right, but thank you, YouTube, for making it so accessible
thank
to
you,
most
YouTube.
Most people. Like, you don't have to go to a degree, as you're saying, to learn how the fashion industry works, but it can be useful to go to do that degree.
It can be useful. I think the difficulty with platforms like YouTube, though, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just that there's just too much content and everybody has an opinion. And this is where obviously then going to and doing a degree or to some university or institution to learn fashion makes sense, because all of that's been filtered for you. So you know what you're learning, as opposed to with YouTube, it's by experience only. And so it's very difficult, because not everyone's experience, particularly within the creative industry and particularly within fashion, is the same thing for everybody.
So for our listeners that don't know, actually, we've known each other quite a long time now.
Yes.
So after your undergraduate, you went to go do a postgraduate degree at the London College of Fashion, where I met Beatrice. So we both did their master's in digital fashion together a long time ago. Say what year specifically.
We're not old, we're young.
But essentially, you took the next step then, didn't you, in your career, going from more of the traditional skills to those more advanced, actually digitally forward transformational skills that the industry is now after so much. And if we think about digital fashion, when we studied it, it wasn't even a subject.
It wasn't a thing. I remember I didn't actually want to do digital fashion. I wanted to do fashion design. And a lecturer who I really adored and made a great impression on me, because they supported my application for my BA, was like, you know, digital is the future for fashion. I think you'll learn a whole lot more doing this degree than you would do in fashion design. So it was based on their recommendation, after doing interview and getting in, I decided, you know, let's do it. And the course that we did at London College of Fashion, the digital fashion those years ago, I think even when I enrolled, Peter, I still felt quite lost, because I was like, what is digital fashion? I have no idea what I'm doing.
And I think many of our listeners still feel that as well.
Yeah, they do. But I really liked the fact that it wasn't just about set classes and then learning sort of things here and there. What made a big impression on me, and what I'll forever be grateful to our lecturer for, was those extracurricular sessions where we had people from outside industry and people in, or designers in residences, coming to talk to us. And I remember that talk by, I think it was the founders of Boudica, who came in to give a talk, and they were talking about 3D scanning bodies and stuff like that. I was like, I've never heard of this before, and now I understand what I could potentially be doing. And I think sometimes we just need those people to talk to us about those experiences to help us understand where we can go with all of these ideas.
And how did you start integrating some of those more innovative tech tools and technologies into your design process?
So I think when people think about digital fashion, they jump straight on the what you can see. So that can be 3D printing, digital printing, whatever it is. But for those of us who don't necessarily look at that as an aesthetic or style for our own brands, my way into the digital was purely by communication and connectivity, because you still need digital to be able to connect to people far, far away. And I couldn't travel, let's say, to India, where I wanted to get this sort of complicated crochet stuff done. So my only means was by, you know, using the digital tools that I had. At the time, Skype was very big. I mean, we didn't have Google Meets and all of that jazz, or Zoom. It was Skype, email as well. And sort of developing those communications, seeing based on how well you develop those relationships via digital, it would allow them for greater things in design to come through. And so I made some really great connections, one sort of with an Italian company, one with a, funny enough, a cement company. I was sort of experimenting with different kinds of materials, and one with an Indian company as well. And not all of those relationships actually grew, some collapsed, but I learned from all of that. And really, that was my segue into understanding, I guess, digital connectivity within fashion and growing a business that way.
And you started to experiment with all of these things. You mentioned the crochet. Mm-hmm. For our listeners that don't know, you also started your own fashion brand, and you're experimenting with Colicky, the brand name, whilst on the master's degree.
That's correct.
What is Colicky?
So Colicky is, I would say, a women's wear brand, although I don't like to define it as women's wear. It's a brand for anybody, everybody, because I get different types of clients. But it started off as a women's wear brand, designed for around the female body, I guess. And it really takes the essence of my British heritage and culture mixed or fused in with my Ghanaian Western African culture. And people think, well, what does that mean? Well, I still consider myself to be a Ghanaian, but I was born and bred, raised up in Britain. And taking my Ghanaian culture from that perspective, you learn certain things that even if I was born in Ghana would be a very different sort of understanding or aesthetic. And so my style is fused within that way, understanding sort of the Western sensitivities of fashion and style fused in with the sort of sensibilities and curiosities and really quirky things that make up my Ghanaian culture that I love and that a lot of my audience seem to love as well.
So let's move on from the fashion degrees. You then went to London Business School to do an entrepreneurship program. How was that? How did that elevate you to the next level of entrepreneurship and your startup?
I didn't know it at the beginning, and actually I wasn't going to apply for it. To those of you who don't know, Peter was also on that same program with me. He went on and applied and got in and didn't even tell me until I got in as well.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a secret. So, I was like, I come first, Beatrice.
As well. Yes, Peter. Thanks for telling me. On a recommendation of my father saying, you know, look, don't be afraid. You might be in a room full of MBAs, but it's really important that you can, you know, get them to rub off a little bit of their business acumen off of you. And it actually wasn't that bad, Peter. I thoroughly enjoyed it anyway, although I know Peter would probably have some words to say about, what was it, the cold calling session. It's like, that doesn't work for fashion.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And obviously this was a entrepreneurship program that followed a framework, yes, shall we say, versus it being industry specific or vertical specific. So we were, I think, the only ones from fashion,
yes,
during that specific program. And it's essentially a summer program that is the midpoint for most of the MBAs. So we just came in at that moment and was there for like 3 months or something.
Yeah, but I think that's the important point, Peter. It's the fact that when we talk a lot about business, we always talk about business away from the creative perspective. But there are two different types of businesses. You've got your general business, which works for your general academic subjects. But there is a business such as creative business, which really understands or takes the sort of creative industry and how it works into, I think, better scrutiny and better ways in which we work. And I think this is really where we segue into Mode and why I've decided to develop this sort of online educational platform designed by a creative for a creative, understanding business, technology and sustainability and all that jazz, because I realized there was a gap in the market that really didn't allow the world to teach creatives business in a point of view that they would understand. And it just made us, or ended up, creatives following a roadmap that doesn't necessarily work for them. And we can talk about capitalism, etc., but it's actually because fashion has been run in that way with people who don't understand fashion or creativity. It's become a huge issue now when we talk about sustainability, even, and even with fast fashion, because it's always just about money up for grabs without really understanding the importance of ethics, the use of ethically and sustainably using technology, and developing better businesses that would support the world.
For our listeners that don't know Mode, so Mode is an online education platform for creative people. Mm. We're starting off with fashion, so intro to fashion entrepreneurship. So that's Beatrice's first program. How did you come up with inspiration for that one?
I think the inspiration just came from myself. 10 years into the industry, running my own brand. I say 10 years, 10 years running my own brand, but much more longer being in the industry, actually, and understanding that the complexities of running your own business as a startup fashion designer, and also the frustrations that you tend to get as a creative, of people saying, oh, all you need to do is just, you know, redesign this or create more of this. And it's like, well, it's actually not that easy. And actually, that's not the most sustainable way to do things. So I guess coming at it from my perspective, 10 years in with Colicky, and only within the sort of past 3 years, Colicky growing year on year financially and being viable, which is really great, means it's successful and it means I can do even greater things, and sort of bringing creators along the journey to sort of show how I built on that success.
In terms of, you know, the number of students from fashion schools graduating every year, as we heard right at the start, Graduate Fashion Week, which is an annual event that showcases fashion talent from the various colleges around the UK and universities, 3,500, but there's many, many more mm-hmm. that don't showcase there. So, for example, LCF don't show there, CSM don't show there, UEL doesn't show there, for example. So there's many, many more coming out. How can a platform like Mode augment what they've already learned for the last 3 or 4 years?
I think we need to understand why universities are moving away from platforms like that, like Graduate Fashion Week. And I think it's important to say that Graduate Fashion Week has its place. And
did you showcase there?
Yeah, I did. And I remember it so well as a student. And I think it was an amazing opportunity. But we also need to remember those were different times. I mean, I don't want to show my age, but I mean, we're talking about sort of past 10 years ago, right? What that really did for me as a creative. And if I had to be very honest, as a student, I think just being able to have the opportunity to show on a catwalk when you will never really get that opportunity again unless you've got money or you've been invited somewhere, you're successful. So showing on that GFW catwalk was like the epitome of any student's sort of career at university. But outside that, and where Mode really comes in to support, is there's that element of careers and preparation for industry and getting a job, essentially. I think most institutions or universities aren't really sort of clear or upfront or honest, or probably just don't even know, outside of planning the basics or the foundation knowledge for what you need to know in fashion, there is always that gray area or gap in understanding business and how you can get a job afterwards. And so Mode comes in because we're sort of teaching you to understand why that might be by understanding business from a creative perspective and how you can go about building either a successful business or working with other companies to build successful businesses to ensure that you're developing or building on your capital to do even more greater things. And sometimes it's really about as simple as saying you're not necessarily going to get a job straight after, but it doesn't mean your degree is worthless. In actual fact, we cannot look at the creative industries the same way as we look at academic subjects where jobs are kind of waiting for you to, you know, do all of these administration things or whatever. In a creative industry, it's very different. It's all about experience. But we also know you can't necessarily do experience and get paid. So how do you sort of, play the playing field and get to where you want to get to whilst building on that experience, whilst also being able to earn? And so I think it's about having that honest conversation to say, well, me and you, Peter, we went into teaching or we did other jobs to save up, build up on our network, build up on our experience. And as the years went on, we sort of became this sort of hub of excellence, of knowledge, of wisdom that we can now go on to do even greater things. And so add consultancy to our repertoire and all of these other things that the industry desires. So if we're really sort of being honest with ourselves, the creative industry, I don't want to call it lifespan, but maybe age for when you can start to develop a proper career or build on that is, you know, sort of heading past late 20s.
And obviously you haven't just woken up one day and thought, I'm going to start an online education platform. You have taught at several institutions around the UK. Yes. Your latest gig being the head of fashion at UEL, yes. University of East London. How has that shaped the way you teach, the way you engage with students and past students, future students? How has that all come together?
I love that latest gig.
It is a gig.
I never really thought education could really support me or help me in building my own business or knowledge or experience. But I have to say, Peter, since coming to UEL after being an hourly paid lecturer for other institutions for God knows how long, I realized that there's so much opportunity within education to do even greater and better things, particularly at the places like University of East London, which is where I'm at, because it's so ripe and supportive of research development, and research development being in just additional learning and gathering that experience, putting it down onto paper, teaching it, and getting sort of seeing your teaching materials come to life, understanding what works, what doesn't work, and really building on that so that when you go out into industry for yourself, you're learning what works, what doesn't work, and I guess the things that could benefit the industry into sort of beginning to develop itself for the better. I have to also say that we forget that, you know, with most creative industries or any industry, as the world evolves and continues to grow, and as we get older, there's no escaping it, Peter, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. We can sometimes be stuck in a bubble if we decide not to learn anymore. Being in an institution and being able to teach or sort of see new students from a fresher perspective and a newer generation has really allowed me to open my eyes to see things that I might not have seen if I didn't get into education or I wasn't within this world. And so it's really elevated me, I would say, in the things that I've learned and the things that I can propose for what we're doing now, again, with Mode and the consultancy with other brands, because I'm seeing things in a new light.
And for potential students that are thinking about taking an online course, for example, on Mode or elsewhere, mm-hmm. what should they be thinking about in terms of choosing the right course, and how is it going to align with their career?
I think, first of all, when you're choosing an online course or when you're choosing any course, you're spending money on it. So spend it on... I think it's important to know what exactly you're wanting to get out of it. For those of you who haven't gone to university before, who don't necessarily understand fashion, you're seeking knowledge. And it's important to build on that foundational knowledge or basic knowledge first. What is fashion? What is the industry? So you want courses like that. And you want to specifically look at the people who are taking the course as well. What is their background? How is their expertise actually really going to support you in their learning? And if their background is purely just experience from them building their own brand without any fashion knowledge whatsoever, I'd just be a bit conscious, because there's only so much they can teach you. You really need to know greater depth, in-depth information. Fashion has a huge history, and there are things that we do in the industry, good and bad, that if you are looking to be leaders of tomorrow, you're going to really have to learn. And if you're really wanting to figure out this whole sustainable problem and all of the other things that are not just about creativity, it is business, it is logistics, it is all of the fundamentals that support the structures of the industry, then you're looking for credible sources that can really support you in that development. And I think it's important then to build on that business knowledge. So come on to Entry to Fashion Entrepreneurship course with Mode. You're also looking for understanding on, you know, where is technology going within fashion or the creative industries? And also you do really need to build your knowledge on sustainability. I think a lot of people, when we talk about the sustainability issue, they always come at it from one angle or from one argument, and that's, you know, materials, fabrication, but sustainability is so much more than that. And I think it's important we also weigh into that conversation and have the newer generation begin to understand that as leaders of tomorrow, lead us in the right direction.
I think we can safely say that you have seen many facets of the industry, a lot of life experience there. You are wearing many hats.
Yes.
So you're doing fashion education, you're doing your own fashion brand. You're also a mother.
I am.
As well. What are the hardest parts of doing all of those things all together, all at once?
I think the hardest part is just always being able to find time to do all of the stuff that I want to do, but time also for myself. The thing I would say to any graduate or to any business or entrepreneur out there is to not forget that life is short, and fashion and any industry is really also about building relationships and networks. But you can't do that when you're always in your studio, or you're always at home, or you're always thinking about the next order or your next gig. Sometimes it's just about going out and having a great night. Time out, a great day, going on holiday, experience other cultures, speak to new people, because that revitalizes your perspective, it really supports your development, and it will always refresh you. And so you shouldn't always be sort of tired and worn out. And sometimes maybe it's not just about going out or going on holiday, sometimes it's just taking time out for you and enjoying the people around you. So I thoroughly enjoy my daughter, and sometimes it's just about me putting down my crochet needles and just giggling with her, playing with her, and watching TV with her.
I just want to finish off this episode with a quick fire round of questions. Okay. The first thing that comes to your head, are you ready?
Oh, let's do it, go on.
Favorite piece you've designed for Colicky?
Ooh, okay, so this crochet dress, it is Colicky, although it was sort of pre-Colicky, and it was on a catwalk at the V&A Museum after my London College of Fashion degree. And it's basically a dress made out of leather cord, crocheted in a way, in the traditional style that you probably see in most of my collections now.
One celebrity you'd love to work with?
Let's say Solange.
You've been on many celebrities. Who's been your favourite so far?
Who has been my favourite? That's a good question. I don't think I have a favourite. They're all very special and different and unique in their own ways.
Very politically correct. Not choosing a celebrity client. One piece of knowledge from school that stuck with you?
It's just fashion.
Exactly. It is just fashion. One word to describe entrepreneurship and motherhood?
Oh, one word.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Peter. One word. Let's see. Motherhood and fashion. I do not know. Entrepreneurship and motherhood. Is fast lane one word? No. That's too.
We can accept fast lane. One piece of advice for any founder that wants to enter the fashion industry?
Always be willing to learn.
Thank you very much, Beatrice.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.